Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
So, podcast 12.
Whoop, whoop.
Yep, indeed. We got a question to kick us off, Chris.
Why do I do that whoop, whoop? I do it so often,
yeah,
don't I?
I don't know. Is it? It's become reflexive at this point, hasn't it?
Whoop, 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 whoop.
I've got no problem with a whoop, whoop. Like, can I get a whoop, whoop? Is a solid way to, you know, to engage with people. More often than not, you know, you've stood me up there. But, you know, more often than not, people will give you a whoop whoop in return. I don't know.
Do you know what's annoyed me this week, Paul? The fact that I realised that a 99er now costs like £3.50.
Is that the ice cream?
Yeah.
Like what?
Like £3.50.
Fuck off.
£3.50.
Not for ice cream and a flake. There's no way that costs £3.50.
It costs like £3.50.
Where are you going for your 99ers?
Everywhere that's expensive, apparently. But still.
Listen, if you have spread, you get a man who likes a spreadable sausage is going to a high end ice cream place.
It was just a whippy ice cream.
So, but where was it? Where was it?
I can't remember.
Was it an ice cream van?
No, I don't know. I'm not sure.
I'm really concerned for where you. If it wasn't an ice cream van, because I would. I think of an ice cream van so rarely that it surely this would stand out.
Yeah, it wasn't an ice cream van. No, I don't know. I've forgotten.
Well.
It's bad, that, isn't it?
Did someone tell you it cost a lot of money and you've not researched this properly? Is that what it's going
to be? No. I mean, I say recently. It could have been 9 months ago.
Okay, cool. That's fine.
Scandalous, though, isn't it?
Yeah.
How much are you paying?
I don't think it's £3.50, if I'm honest.
How much are you paying?
I've got no idea. I couldn't tell you the last time I bought one at all. So I can't imagine it's more than a couple of quid for just a bit of ice cream and a flake.
Yeah, that's right. It used to be £1, didn't it?
99p.
That's not where it came from.
Where did it come from?
It came... Well, no one really knows. It's been lost in the depths
of
time.
So it could have come from 1990?
No, they know it was not that.
Right, okay, shut up.
It goes back
We don't know what it is, but we know what it's not.
It goes back to the Italian army or something, like a King's Guard. There was 99 people, so it was very good, essentially. That's one of the theories. Yeah, maybe this isn't football related.
No, it never is. Question to kick us off comes from the man, the legend, Mr. Steve Hoare, who doesn't listen, so I didn't need to pick him up quite so much.
Just call him a prick.
Steve, a prick. He's looking great at the moment, actually. He's gone proper skinhead, but he's kept the beard. He does look like he's got a full on upside down head, but he looks great for it. He asks if a tomato was a fruit, does that make ketchup a smoothie?
That's a really good question, isn't it?
Theoretically.
I mean, does the addition of sugar make it less of a smoothie? I'm not 100% sure.
Like
I don't know.
It's more like a milkshake.
It's a hell of a thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
It can't be a milkshake.
It's a matter of not got milk in. But it's getting, well, then again, as a Mackey's milkshake
got
milk
fat.
In. I'm not so sure.
Great question.
We've not prepared once again.
The comments.
Shy, we'll get working on the comments. So yeah, as ever, we ask if you leave us a review and a 5-star rating on iTunes or whatever, we'll get through some of your comments. We'll get them in a moment once I tracks them down. On your phone, Si?
No, I haven't got it.
He hasn't got his phone.
Oh dear. You can. I mean, I'm sure you could step out if you want to do it. But I'm sure you could. I mean.
Do it now.
I mean, step out. We'll try not to fuck the levels in your absence.
So anyway, I was saying at this level.
But yeah, we'll get through some people's some of your comments in a moment. Three topics to discuss this week. And they are as follows: Southampton, politics and football.
Sorry, I've just remembered. The other one was it was a place in London that was 99 Wellington Street or something like that, and they were one of the first people to start putting a flake in your ice cream. That was one of the other theories.
Wow.
Yeah.
I thought you'd remembered where you bought it from, and no, I thought you'd answered my quarters at the same time. No, I get it. I get it with like those ice creams you can get where they dip them now and they put like sherbet around the outside. So like I can see a £3.50 ice cream in that regard. But people know, please do tweet us in at the Redmen TV or leave it in your 5-star review comments.
I think what got me thinking about it was my match reaction and the fella eating the ice cream in the background.
I didn't get onto that. A few people tweeted us about that. Someone really enjoyed the ice cream.
Really enjoying it, like.
Right, so I'll get into that in a minute. Let's talk Southampton and we'll come back to the comments.
And ice creams.
And ice cream, indeed. As we got it here, Southampton. That was, and I don't know if I said it on my match reaction or I think I just said it to you guys in general. A handful of occasions throughout that game, particularly in the last 15, 20 minutes, I was just making noises of angry frustration, like not nonsensical, not words, not shouting, come on, lads, or for fuck. I was like, ah, like primordial bellows coming from deep within me, I guess, soul. That was a horrible, horrible, frustrating game of football.
Yeah, it was, I don't really want to talk about it anymore. We did a final word on it yesterday and...
You always make me do this.
I know.
So fucking pull your finger out, Paige. I can talk about it.
Sunday was the first time that I had real question marks over Klopp. You know, and you can easily answer them and you can easily put them to the back of my mind again, but I just didn't get it. I just didn't see why we set up the way that we'd set up. I didn't see why we have tried to play Southampton in the exact same way that we played them three times already this season. You know, at some point, I think you've got to change your game plan.
Yeah.
I don't know 100% whether this is right, but you know, was that the best side we put out against Southampton? Probably not.
Mm.
You know, and yet we played probably one of the weaker sides we've played against Southampton. And again, I've not checked this through, so I'm not 100% sure. But to go with that side in that manner, just scream 0-0 or getting beat.
But the question that hangs over it is that what, in terms of personnel in particular, I'm not sure there's too much more we could do in that regard. Your cases fall down to, I think, the only guys I think you've got on the bench who can... definitely play the full match there is probably like Trent Alexander-Arnold. You could maybe argue maybe Grujic is ready for it, but I'm not so sure. Lallana's not, and Sturridge isn't. So it makes sense.
How do we know that Sturridge isn't?
Because he hasn't. And that's the point of Daniel Sturridge, isn't it?
I don't know. So you need to give him 90. You need to give him that opportunity to prove you wrong, don't you, at some point? It was so lacklustre. We were just so poor. We just didn't link up with Origi in any way, shape or form. Wijnaldum weren't missing in the midfield.
Yeah.
Change the formation. Do something. Even if it's just as simple as throw Trent on for Klein.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. Throw somebody in there that's going to change it slightly because that, you know, those fullbacks were poor, you know. And every time we get in, you've said it yourself, Paul. Every time the fullbacks end up having loads of the ball high up the pitch, you kind of know what way the game's going.
Yeah, I think particularly again, I think the issue that we're facing in this right now is that when you look at the options that we've got, I don't think any of the options that we've got have proven themselves to be conclusively the answer one way or the other. Because like Moreno's a shout, but Moreno has been given those kind of opportunities in recent weeks and no one would go, what a great option Moreno is in this situation. It's yet another one where you go, oh, put him on and fingers crossed. Okay, sound. Similarly, Trent Alexander-Arnold, he's still just a kid, isn't he? It's just normally me that does this.
Because I normally have my phone on sound and don't know how to put it on sound.
You don't know how to put your phone
I've not looked.
Okay. So we'll pick this conversation up later. You're born down to, we don't know 100% Daniel Sturridge, but if you had to stake money on whether Daniel Sturridge was fit enough to play 90 minutes, You wouldn't bank that. You wouldn't no, buy any money. But on then, that
no, but then I suppose it comes down to, you know, before the match, me and you were talking, and I was very much get your best players on the pitch and pull them off. Mm-hmm. And you've said for a few weeks now you need something on the bench. Mm-hmm. Well, it hasn't worked your way.
It has.
It when?
Stoke.
And the substitute scored. I can't remember the goal.
Firmino scored the winner.
I mean, so, all right, yeah, but we've not tried it my way. We've not tried getting your best players on the pitch. And if Sturridge can't play 90, can he play 60?
No, but we have, because we played West Ham at Anfield and we put all our best players on the pitch and we had nothing on the bench. And when you run out of ideas, there's no ideas coming off the bench is the thing.
I just want to see us go out there and get the game shown up. Yeah. I don't want to wait until the 60th or 70th minute. Yeah. Before you make your changes, no, that's stupid.
No, I'm listening.
Give yourself
not,
the biggest amount of time to win the game of football.
Absolutely.
This not is, 20 minutes at the end of the game.
This is not about, yeah, I agree. On this, I am in agreement with you. Yeah, we can make those substitutions. I think even if it's 5 minutes earlier, whatever, we can make those subs a little bit earlier. My reading of it is, I think we're playing a style of football, and I just think it's down to what's left, what pieces we have left of the people that we have available to us, and again, come back to it. If Adam Lallana is physically capable, there's no way Adam Lallana doesn't start that game because for the start, he'll want to start that game. He'll have been fucking banging on the door to fucking start that game, and Klopp loves him to bits. So he would have started him. So you have to give the benefit of the doubt there to say Lallana's physically not capable of doing it. And again, I would back that with Daniel Sturridge as well. I agree that the subs make subs too late.
Yeah, no, you're right. But if you've got Sturridge and Lallana to come on with 20, let's say, to go, why are we starting with a side that's not as creative? That when we've got players on the bench who can play football. If they're on the bench, they should be able to play football. They should be able to play at least 60 minutes.
Why?
Because what's the point of having them on the bench?
Well, because
you want to get your goals, and then Lucas is a good substitution.
But this
because
is predicated
if you're putting an 11 players out, and Lucas Leiva is one of them, let's say, right? Yeah. Then you believe in your mind eye that those 11 players can win the game of football, right?
Sure.
Because you've put them out to win the game of football.
Sure.
Right? Why can't they do that after 70 minutes or after 60 minutes? Why can't Lucas change the game after 60 minutes, whereas he is totally fine to start the game and win you the game of football?
Okay, because I think the way we're looking at it's wrong. I think we've put a team out. Our team starts games to be as solid as possible. I'm not saying it's hard to phrase it, because I think the team we've put out is capable of winning it.
So why can't those players come off the bench and win it?
Because I don't think they're as capable of winning it as the because we've got because of better players. Because example, Lucas Leiva can't come. You would never bring Lucas Leiva on with 20 minutes to go, trying to win a game of football.
But you could move someone further forward. You could move Emre Can further forward. You could bring Grujic on play him.
But he's already fit.
Emre Can plays the six if Lucas doesn't play. Now an attacking substitution is, all right, it doesn't look like an attacking substitution when you bring Lucas on, but you're then moving Emre Can further forward. You're maybe asking Gini Wijnaldum to go further forward. So there are tweaks to the formation that you can make by bringing Lucas on. Yeah. Lucas himself isn't going to get you it. Yeah.
My belief from what I've seen us do, and it's massively frustrating to watch us play like this, but I feel as though we're going to try and win games in the last 20 minutes, half an hour. We'll try our best to win them, but we will gamble on bringing stuff off the bench to try and win. The legs are tied, when everyone's legs are tied, we'll bring as many good players on as we can to try and win the game late on, which is fine. It's Rafa Benitez football. It's Gerard Houllier football to some extent, which has been successful. It's just dead frustrating because...
It's not Jürgen Klopp football, though.
It's not. Yeah, maybe it is. You know what I mean? There's clearly a game plan in place here. It's not being done by accident. And the reason why it keeps being repeated is, I think, because of that, because it's kind of...
It keeps being repeated because the 11 players that go out there aren't getting it done.
Yeah.
That's the only reason.
Well, yeah, there's definitely
which means change the starting 11.
But again, it comes back to... I just don't think we're capable. There's too many things we can do to change the starting 11, because we said this again. Because I think you still want to strike the balance between solidity and yet still having things in reserve. And I know, again, it's the internal arguments, as you say. go out and win it. But what if you don't? What if you don't win it in 60 minutes with all your best players on and you do need to make substitutions because...
Then at least you've put your best team out to try and win it. You've given yourself the best possible starting point.
But not if you fall to bits and fucking lose it in 20
no,
minutes.
No, but then equally, you know, that team of 11 players could have lost it in the first 60 minutes and then what? Then you're rolling a dice anyway.
Yeah.
You know, it's exactly the same scenario.
I think it's a different argument if Adam Lallana's 100% fit. And
yeah.
on the bench.
Yeah, and I'd agree
Daniel
with
Sturridge
that.
Has played more, you know, has proved himself capable of handling it. But I think what it comes down to is...
I think it came down to trust with Sturridge.
Maybe, but...
And trust in Origi more than anything.
Yeah, yeah, maybe that. Maybe it's just that thing of... I think you're probably thinking Anfield might be enough to help you as well over the line and that... That feels like our away team as much as anything else. Divock Origi, because we were talking about Sturridge for West Ham, we'll come on to it. I like the idea of it, but I'm not necessarily convinced of it. And what we know from what we've seen this season is if you're only going to... Because there's a different argument to you can put both Origi and Sturridge up front. There's a case to be made for that. But if that's not being in consideration, you'd still rather Sturridge off the bench than Origi off the bench, because Origi's shown enough.
But why?
That he does fuck all off the bench.
But equally, flip side, in that game of football opened up against Southampton for Origi.
True, but did it open up for Origi because we moved up? They moved up the pitch because we had Daniel Sturridge up front and they know he's not going to hurt him behind.
Maybe so, yeah.
You know, because that's what happened. We had 5 minutes of them being quite deep and then all of a sudden that evaporated because they're going, go ahead, stick balls over the top, lads. Good on you. We'll fucking beat you to that all day long because they know we're not going to do them. I think that's what it is. I think it's a game of small percentages, and the small percentages lie towards you. If we can't put our best team out for the full length of the game, and these guys are struggling with fitness, they're more likely to have joy in the last 20 minutes of a football match when everyone's tired than they are in the first 20 minutes of a match when everyone's fit and fresh and at it. That's my reading of the situation.
I can see that, but the flip side of that is they have seen what you're going to do all game. Like, does Adam Lallana make that much of a difference in the last 20?
It's interesting that I think it's telling how unfit he is that we didn't put him in the mix. He played very deep once he came on. Sorry, Tom's coming and nearly fell on his face. And it's you said yourself, Adam Lallana looked well off it when he came on, which is another strong indication. He looked brilliant on Monday when he came on. How much of that was him flying through on adrenaline? And by all accounts, we fucked him by having to introduce him. There's no way he doesn't just get 20 minutes in that game.
Yeah. I'd love to know whether he trained in exactly the same way as the rest of the team, whether we could have done what Tottenham did with Ledley King for so long. Because ultimately, if he plays 90 minutes of football... or 80 minutes of football on the Monday night, he should be able to play 80 minutes on the next Sunday if his training's changed.
Maybe. But then, again, neither of us is a sports
scientist. No, that's it. Like, but people... Well, we've seen examples. Ledley King was one of them. Where did you just play one game a week and you can get through on that?
Yeah. It wouldn't shock me if we managed Adam Lallana. There's no way we've got... Adam Lallana's been put flat out throughout the week. He will well have been managed through that because, again, they want to get these guys on the pitch at this point.
I just wonder whether he'd been overworked regardless of whether he was managed.
I suspect he's been overworked in that match, and that's what's done him more than anything else, because, again, they want Adam Lallana out on the pitch. They're not soft. There's no way that they've run him into the ground so that he's incapable of impacting.
Again, it kind of comes back to what I said on the final word about Kenny Dalglish not being brave at the end of his tenure as Liverpool manager, and it kind of feels like that's what Klopp's doing now.
Yeah.
You know, I think, you know, why couldn't we just put Trent on the right wing and Firmino up top? Why has that not been considered an option?
Maybe.
He's done brilliantly when he gets into those positions. He scored a goal from that position last night in the under-23s.
Well, from right back.
But that position further up the field.
Yeah. I think that
could have been an option for
us.
Yeah,
no, I don't think it's about
being brave, and yeah. What Klopp has shown over the last few weeks is that he's not willing to take that gamble, to me anyway.
Yeah, but that again, yeah. Yeah.
No, and it's high stakes, and look, you know, that's why he's paid the big bucks, isn't it? Mm. He's got to make those decisions. Yeah, but sometimes you do have to roll the dice.
Yeah.
And it looks like he's unwilling to.
I'll be perfectly honest, though. If you're going to roll the dice, I know, again, you were right when you said the final word about the so much of it is, again, dependent upon the draw, the win, Arsenal beating Man United and what have you. But there's still, the gamble's still working. How long that'll work forever, you don't know. The gamble is probably, if we're going to see a gamble, we're not seeing it against West Ham. We'll see that gamble against Middlesbrough, because mm-hmm. that's when you gamble. There's no set, there was no, because of how it's been played and it is so tight and there's still so many points being dropped around. If you gamble and lose that, which we've seen time and time again this season.
It actually would have worked out fine.
Less fine, of course, though. You know what I mean? Because, again, you're a point worse off as
but if you gamble and win.
Yeah, oh, of course.
And then the results.
But again.
Well, that's what it comes down to. And then even he showed during, with the timing of his substitutions, that there was no gamble there either. Mm. It was far too late. Yeah. And I think every Liverpool fan would agree on that.
True, yeah. Oh, yeah. And as I've said, again, but I would come down to it. He's got priors for making late subs, so he probably would have done that regardless. But again, what we will still never know. We will never know what's available to him, because we're never going to be privy to those conversations about what legs are left in his guys. And here's the thing about it: you can't legislate for it. But when you set your game plan out to just make sure you don't concede and to try and nick one. This game was no different to the wins that we've picked up in the last few weeks, because James Milner scores a penalty and you win that 1-0 and you go, good, really intelligent, ground out results. You know, we've won games, or we've come close to winning games on moments of magic and moments of luck in these. And so in that regard, it's not far off working, but these are the fine margins of that, as you say, of that approach. I just think it, like you say, if it's not Jurgen Klopp football, I don't think the reason we're not playing Jurgen Klopp football is bottle. I can only presume, because I would never say there's a man or a management team that lacks bottle. I would suggest it's probably because they've looked at what's available to them and they've had to try and manufacture a way to do it.
I would agree with that, but equally, that management team got this squad into that situation with probably how hard they've worked them over the season.
Yeah.
You know, they've seen the injuries coming, the lack of transfers in January. You know, all these things add up to where we are today.
Yeah.
And there's things that you can legislate for and there's things that you can't, i.e. injuries and stuff.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
But this management team has the squad, and I've taken this squad into this position.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, that's a worry.
Yeah, well, yes and no, because... Yeah, well, you know, it is what it is. You make your bed and you lie in it, don't you?
Yeah, you do.
And I agree with that. They made the decision to do what they've done, and that is on them, absolutely. But again, I'd still come back to it that let's look at there's some injuries that you could say, you know, if you're picking up injuries in training and you're picking up muscle injuries, then that's a result of that, you know, Ray the Fitness Egg's all over that shit, isn't he? But it's probably the freak ones that have done us, and they're the ones you can never account for. So, Sadio Mane falling awkwardly in a football match, Danny Ings doing his cruciate, and Cheo Joe damaging his spine. There's three players that you have available to you.
Two of those injuries, am I right in saying, could have been rectified or could have been solved in the January transfer window?
Maybe. Maybe, again, we had this conversation.
Because the Ings one was definitely before Christmas, wasn't it?
Yeah, but again, maybe. We have these conversations, don't we? It's pie in the sky, isn't it? To say, oh, we'll just fix it in January. There's no...
Again, that was, in fairness to Klopp, that was a gamble that he took, and it may well pay off, and it might be that we'll end up with a better squad next season because of that.
Exactly.
And I understand both sides of it. I'd rather have got the points in the bag, which is probably why it comes down to I'd rather have the best team on the pitch at the beginning of the game, you know, and I'd rather buy someone in January. It's because that's the way that I look at it.
The major thing, if it's maybe along the lines of, maybe we're just not as intensive in the first half of the season. Maybe instead of going so fucking gung-ho in the first half and we were blowing teams away and we were fucking running our heart and soul out, blah, 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 maybe we should have wound that in a little bit. But it's butterfly effect, isn't it? What if us not doing that didn't give us the platform for confidence, and all of a sudden, because if you're not and then all of a sudden we get to the middle of the season,
well,
and we're thinking, oh, we don't know how to beat teams, etc.
What will be interesting to see is whether we do we were fortunate this season, we probably won't do it next season, but whether if for example, we were in the same scenario, would we do two training camps out of England? That would be interesting to know whether Klopp's decided that was a good or a bad thing.
Well, it's,
with European football, it's probably not going to happen.
There's no doubt that this summer, how we're doing this summer, is a direct reflection of what happened last summer. You know, we've moved the Australia game to a post-season game. You then give your players a month off. We've still got to go to the Far East, but I think it's only, is it one game? Maybe,
yeah.
Maybe it's a shortened thing nevertheless. And then we're just in Europe, just playing in a training camp and playing some, again, good level teams in the Aldi Cup. But again, it'd be interesting to see. It'd be interesting to see whether we do what we did last summer, that because we started, it was like the 1st of July almost. Yeah. And we put out kids teams, but we had like a game a week throughout that period, and we just increased the quality of opposition, increased the quality of the players that were being used in it. I would be interested to know that, and whether we did, because I made the analogy on my channel, and I did it in the final word as well, that Liverpool started the season a bottle of wine in, so that we were well oiled and we were flying when the season started. But you'd always see that with the best example I can think of it is, but West Ham got into the Intertoto Cup and they won the Intertoto Cup to get into Europe. Frank Lampard started the season as like top goal. He has like 10 goals by the time the season started. And they just died at Christmas. Completely died on their ass because they'd started the season like 6 weeks before everyone else. And maybe that's...
Yeah, maybe that's the thing. Like, Klopp's maybe taken his Dortmund approach, but not realised, you know, well, he obviously realised there was no winter break, but that might have had an effect. Maybe he'll have to tail it back a little bit this summer.
It's all, inevitably, it's all the stuff you'll never get to know, and we'll never get to know. Maybe there was, you know, you hear things in the summer about us being linked with Pulisic and whatever, and maybe someone went, Shea Ojo's going to be back in a month. Do you think that'll be all right? Okay, you know, he did a good job for us last season, and then he gets to the end of that month and he re-aggravates or whatever, and then all of a sudden, I'm not saying, I keep coming back to this, I'm not suggesting Shea Ojo is the answer to every one of Liverpool's problems, but if you've got another guy who can come in for 30 minutes every couple of games or whatever, maybe Sadio Mane, it saves Sadio Mane because we can withdraw him a little bit more from matches, etc., etc. These are the things that you know. It always looks reckless when you're in a bad mood because the footy's not going great and you're stressed out about it. I can't imagine it's as reckless or as mindless as we can look at it that way, because I just don't think football clubs are that fucking soft anymore, not again, especially not with the guys that we've got there at the minute. But let's move on anyway, because in fact let's do West Ham. Let's move straight into West Ham because I think it follows nicely enough. I really need this to be West Ham of the vast majority of this season and not the West Ham that turned up against Spurs last week.
They've turned their home form around as well, haven't they? You know, it was much publicised at the start of the season what was going on with them in the new stadium. They've settled into that stadium on the sly. They got some very good results there. Obviously, we know Friday Night Football, last week they done Tottenham over. Hopefully, that was just because they ate Tottenham, you know, another London derby. Hopefully, they are on the beach. It's something that I've said how many times.
Keep praying it, keep hoping it. Well,
that's it. You've kind of got to, haven't you? And, look, Liverpool, it's a huge game of football for us. Mm. We've just got to turn up, put our best team out, get the game won, then make the substitutions.
Yeah, it's funny. I think people are going to be so angry about this game because I don't think there's any chance that we do anything differently to what we've seen in the last few weeks, because it makes sense that the team in the formation, from what we've got. Again, I think Lallana comes in because he should hopefully be fit enough to do the 60-minute thing. And again, like I said there, a fit Lallana always starts under Jürgen Klopp.
Question for you: where's he coming?
This is where the question lie. I would put him in midfield. And I would drop Emery Chan back deeper.
Take Lucas out then.
Yeah, because I think, even though Lucas could do a fine job. Or, you know, there might be a case that Gini Wijnaldum maybe comes out for the game, because I don't think he's played a lot of football for us this season. And he didn't have an impact, as you said, against Southampton at all. I wouldn't be against Lallana right, Firmino central. I think if we're going to do that, I think we'll save that for the last game of the season. if we absolutely need 3 points against West Ham, I just think we'll go away. We'll try our best to be as solid as possible. We'll do exactly what we did against Watford. We'll look to hit them on the counter. We'll look to just nick a goal, whether it's from a set piece or, again, someone sticking one in the top bin, whatever that may be. Don't be shocked if we play for a 1-0 against West Ham, because that just looks like that's we've looked at this end of the season and gone, this is how we're gonna
do it. Yeah, I mean, is there anything? If you could throw one mad team out, what would your mad team be?
I could just invent a mad team.
Go ahead.
But what's the point?
I've got one then. A mad one. Right. Put Nathaniel Clyne left back. Yeah.
Okay.
Put James Milner right wing. Put Trent right back. Put Firmino central. Now, it's mental, and we've not seen James Milner all season in that right wing position or in one of those more forward positions, and it's been a long time since he's played there. But if you've got a few little worries about whether Trent can play right back, and is there a better player that you can have working in front of him than James Milner?
No, that's interesting.
A guy who understands now how to be a fullback.
Yeah.
Imagine, Milner likes the little 1-2s as well. If he was, instead of being the guy who has to run past Coutinho, if he's the guy who plays the ball to Trent, you could get a little bit of success there.
Yeah,
it's a way of getting Firmino in. It's mental. I don't think Liverpool are going to do it.
I don't think there's a chance in hell for this game. It would not surprise me. It should surprise me at all times, because we've seen no evidence of that. I think if we need 3 points against Middlesbrough, 100%, I don't be shocked to see Jeannie Wijnaldum playing on the right wing, or James Milner, or whomever, or we pull someone out the cold to have a fucking go at it, Trent or whatever. But this game, you don't put Trent Alexander-Arnold into this game, because Liverpool have, if there was one thing we've proven in this since Sadio Mane got out injured, is that we can't score more than a couple of goals in a game. So if we get ourselves into a situation where we're a goal behind, which is perfectly reasonable because teams can score goals against you, I would not bank on us being able to turn around. And that we got lucky against Stoke. And we were lucky because we had two amazing players on the bench to bring on and change that game. Sometimes, But yeah, it's this is the nature of where we are right now. I was fanciful saying 4-0 as my prediction for Southampton, but it was more hope than expectation. I think we've seen enough there to say that this is how we are right now. We are creeping our way to the finish line of this season. I would like us to just be able to go click, turn it on, like Man City did. Man City are capable of doing that because they've got Leroy Sané, Sergio Aguero, Raheem Sterling, David Silva, and Kevin De Bruyne.
And Yaya's been incredible.
Yeah, but they're all,
since we did that show on him.
Yeah, mate. But they're all fit and they're all in form. We've got Roberto Firmino, whose confidence is out the window because he's been playing right. Divock Origi is literally crumbled into little pieces. Phil Coutinho's, it's just the good feeling seems to have dropped away. Adam Lallana just come back.
You know what's really interesting? What happened to Hendo? Was 3 weeks ago, Hendo was close. Nothing.
No,
he's done for season.
Yeah, he's done by all accounts. Like, it's just one of them, isn't it?
It's kind of gone under the radar though, because Klopp was talking about him and Adam Lallana, and said Henderson will be a little bit behind Adam Lallana.
Well,
he said, it's a bit of a mad
one. He spoke about it two weeks ago in his pre-match press conference, and he just said, it's upsetting because he looks so healthy. He's in such great condition, but he just can't play football. And they're not expanding on it. If it is plantar fasciitis, then again, it's just one of those things. It's just there is no solution to it. You've just got to fucking wait for it to.
Such a shame, man. Because that's how you change a lot of how we play football, is with that man in the middle of the park.
Well, exactly. That's what Liverpool need to get back. And this is why, if I was going to make the change. I've got no issues with the Lucas Chan Wijnaldum midfield away from home. I've got less issues with it, but I would prefer Emre Can in there, just because you get more moments of just madness than you do with Lucas, because it's the nature of Emre Can. But I'm just give him a bit more of a license to just ping the ball around a bit more and take a few more risks. I think Lucas has improved that side of his game.
His passing's been really good.
Yeah, undoubtedly. But we do just need to just ping it around. Well, it was, I was listening to the rap podcast and they made a great point about that. And we've said this for weeks and weeks. If the strength of our team is winning things, is the counter press, if it's winning the ball back high up the pitch, you could do a lot worse than just twat it at Divock Origi and particularly if Adam Lallana is going to be playing in midfield, that might actually play into our hands a little bit more. If we've got Emre Can being Emre Can and playing a few more stupid passes, it actually could work out for us in a really weird way. Because again, if it doesn't work out, bang, you just get on them and you get on the second balls, yeah, and maybe that's a key to us. To
no thread back then.
No. I just, like I say, nothing. Very few things surprise me in life at the moment. I just think if we were gonna see something different, we'd have seen something different. So it says to me that the only likely difference is entirely predicated on the fitness of Adam Lallana. I don't see that someone's going to come in out of nowhere. Che Ojo doesn't come in with two games left. Maybe what we might see is Grujic gets more than 5 minutes if we need a goal. I wouldn't be shocked. Because if Adam Lallana's starting and it means he's starting in place of Lucas, this is the issue that we've got, is that What have we got on the bench that's going to change it? The only game changer we will have on the bench as a result will be Daniel Sturridge, who's a proven game changer. So it's going to be Sturridge and Grujic. You're going to be your two substitutes by all accounts. And I would, as much as we had a laugh at Man United for the Fellaini thing, it is what it is. Horses for courses, and there probably is something for Marco Grujic to just give him ping some stuff up to him and see what happens. Be interesting, nevertheless.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to 1 full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full, important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Look, as the podcast, we've had no issues tackling we tackle the funny stuff, and I've got no issues tackling some of the more difficult stuff as well. We're not going to do religion in footy. No. But politics in football, yeah. Politics in football. Why not? Because I think it happened, but I didn't see it. But obviously, there was sort of Liverpool going to unveil a Jeremy Corbyn banner on the cop before the Southampton game. I think it happened.
It seems to be down the front of the cop after over the banner.
And I saw loads of people kicking off about it on Twitter. I don't want to generalise on stuff, but what I've found is. Here's the thing about politics, particularly whenever I've done stuff, and I've tweeted a few things from the Redmen account. Like I tweeted me Brexit Remain vote out, and people saying you shouldn't be doing this. And inevitably, the people who are telling you shouldn't be doing it are the people who think the opposite. Exactly, think the opposite of you. So I want to know, because the argument over the weekend was there's no play. Football and politics shouldn't go, shouldn't mix, essentially.
Look, I think on the surface, you may look at it and think, yeah, they're two completely different things, but I disagree with that entirely, to be honest with you. Football's got more links to politics than I think people give it credit for. I mean, you know, and specifically, I think it's got more links to the Labour Party than anything else, because, you know, what is the Labour Party about? It's about camaraderie. It doesn't, you know, politics transcends race, it should transcend race, religion, all that type of stuff. Football does all of that.
Yeah.
You know, it's about getting together and being with like-minded people, which is what politics is about as well. It's about reveling in your success or the other's failure. Mm-hmm. Politics does all that as well.
Yeah, no, it's just the worst thing about politics. But yeah.
Some of the stuff around football in you know, is very prevalent in the world as well. You know, women being paid much less than men. That's a political issue as well. The one that we seem to be moving towards getting away from still happens in football. Mm-hmm. You know, there's lots of things, but ultimately for a Liverpool fan and for me, it's the working class roots of it.
Yeah, that's it.
And that's what it boils down to, because you've got people like Steven Gerrard, Wayne Rooney, Jamie Carragher, you know, who are living the absolute dream. Mm-hmm. Whereas, can any other sport offer somebody from that background the riches that football does? Mm-hmm. You know, can that happen? Rugby, it's very much almost a private school education thing. Yeah. You need to have money to get into that to begin with, I think, a lot of the time. Whereas, you know, football's a bit of a hope and a bit of a dream for everybody that, you know, when you're a kid, you can do this. There's nothing about your background that holds you back.
Yeah.
It's about you and can you get there? Yeah. And football can do that for you. But ultimately, again, it's around about camaraderie and, you know, bringing people together. And I think that's what Labour sort of stands for.
Yeah, I think the thing that gets confused in it is that it's not about Labour for me, because I think Labour, the concept of the Labour Party and the Conservative Party, these all get, the waters have been muddied over the last 20 years or something of politics, because, you know, Labour isn't stopped being the left-wing party that it was. But the idea of socialism and the idea of left-wing politics is the working class route to that. It's meant to be the idea of the people, and again, that's what you're talking about in football. It is people who used to be the working class sport. It was people who were doing your manual labour, the people who were working on the docks, and the people who were doing this, watching football, and they had left wing views, because the idea of the Labour Party as it was in its purest sense was about supporting the worker, was about protecting workers' rights, it was about protecting people's rights, and particularly in Liverpool, because of the nature, because of that, first and foremost, because of its working class heritage, and then exacerbated by the way that the city was managed through the Tory reign in the 80s and what have you, means that whether football in a general sense is linked with politics, I'm not so sure, but what I think people sometimes lose sight of is that Liverpool as a city is a very very left-thinking city, and that's tough for people to get their head around. And I'm not saying that everyone in Liverpool votes Labour, they don't. I'm not saying everyone this or everyone that, but it's more than even a tendency. It's a broad generalisation, but it's a broad generalisation for a reason. And why it links into the Jeremy Corbyn thing is that I don't necessarily think it's as much about, I think for him as a person, and he gets tired, and look, I don't really care, I don't know him as a person, I don't like whatever. What I can gather about what his ethos is, it fits very much with that left wing socialist pure view that Liverpool as a city totally seems to buys into, and that's where I think it's very hard to unpick that from a city like Liverpool. So I can get it when clubs of, you know, around the country it doesn't make sense to them, but because again this is so much, very much in the DNA of the city. Then that's why
the politics feeds clubs into football. Historically, have done a lot for the communities. I mean, Everton in the community, mm-hmm. is award winning. You know, Liverpool do a lot of foundation stuff that goes into the communities and has done throughout the years. And you know, I think politicians sometimes can be seen. When was it? Cameron jogging around somewhere in an Aston Villa shirt, completely see-through. He's not one of us.
Well, he gets asked about it. It was on BBC News and he got asked about it, and he totally had no fucking idea what he was talking about.
Exactly, but when there's, is it David Miliband became a non-executive director of a football club to lower the crime rate in the area and do and work with the club, I forget the club's name now, to lower the crime rate and just bring the community up. Mm-hmm. Now that is a politician who's really doing something. I think Rotherham had Everton and Liverpool in his constituency, both clubs Walton, both clubs in his constituency doing work in the community. So it was very much for Rotherham, it was very much football and politics because they went hand in hand with raising that community.
So yeah, that's Steve Rotherham, Metro Mayor for Liverpool. Yeah, and that's it. And I think this is what it boils down to. It's very hard to, and I understand again, because if you're dead set on a particular mindset and you see a big platform being used to promote something you don't believe in, you're naturally going to get riled up by that because you'll feel like it's being taken away from you and you'd be taken aback by it.
You got to respect the club and the people and the local supporters, because I think that's where it's come from.
Yeah, and that's the thing, is and that's what it's worth pointing out, is that whether you, I think that what from my reading of it, I think what a lot of the right wing tries to do is muddy this fact, and you can see this by the way that the Conservatives are marketing themselves, and by the way that Farage markets himself and UKIP markets themselves, just like being the voice of the people. It's words, and I know Labour's lost very, very much lost that, but that's the thing about it. Again, it's these are people who, right-wing people don't get on picket lines, and they don't, they, you know, more often than not, you know, or in the same way that people do, you know, it's people who are anti-trade unions, that anti, people clubbing together to stand up against the establishment, is far more a left-wing trait than it is a right-wing trait. And again, that's what it boils down to for Liverpool. Without Liverpool, Scousers are a culture of people who stand up against establishments, and you know, you can make the case that Labour has become establishments, whatever, and that's what I mean. That's why, that's the problem with politics. It's not about, it's tough to put it to parties, because parties are weird, and Labour's is a weird party at the best of times anyway. But it's more, I think politics in a general sense absolutely has a place in football, because I think football is by and large is still a socialist sport.
And look, it's still used as an escapism from everything else that's going on in your life as well, isn't it? You know, think about it. The working class men are used to... passes that well-read, Matt, mate. So, song lyrics here. Every other Saturday's my half day off and it's off to the match I go. Right? That is someone escaping from their mundane life to go and visit the football. It's the working class roots of it, you know, and everybody has a half day off. What do? They forget about their worries for 90 minutes. They go and put everything in and they ride all their emotions on that because they get enjoyment out of it. And, you know, they don't worry about whether they can pay the rent and they don't worry about all this. It's an escapism. Football's always been an escapism. What are they escaping from? Their life, you know, and what the government are doing and everything else that's going on in their life. So it is madly linked.
Yeah, that's it. And as I say, the trouble with it all is that the problem with politics is that people like to put names on stuff and they like to pigeonhole stuff. And that's why I say it's not necessarily about political party affiliations, because, look, as I said, Labour have been just as big a cunt as the Tories.
Yeah, and maybe Labour need to get back to that.
And that's the problem. And again, this is the schism with it all. And you've probably got people who are Labour voters who are just as unhappy with Jeremy Corbyn being put forward, because, you know, they don't believe in his type of politics. For me, it boils down to, you know, again, and where a lot of the crux of it comes from is that Liverpool, we like pseudo spiritual leaders, not necessarily a massively religious city, but we like to deify figures. And it goes back to, for Liverpool, it goes back to Bill Shankly, who was a socialist at heart and loved the idea of it being do it for the people. And again, that's why, and so people wondering why Jeremy Corbyn would be held up in that way, when you might not agree with his politics, or you might not look at him, you might not like him, and you might look to pick holes in him or whatever. For whatever he is right now, he resonates with the core of Liverpool and the core of, and that's why, you know, the support for him is massive in Liverpool off the back of it. But yeah, here's the thing, you're entitled, everyone's entitled to their own views and their own political stance on it, because unfortunately, like with anything, a lot of it's handed down to you.
Yeah,
you know, much like your football club, you know, it is tribal, isn't it, to some extent, and it is hard to hear people talk about things in a particular set of way. But it would be, for me as well, I've had people say, like, you shouldn't politicise Redmen TV. Well, Redman TV's me, Redman TV's you. It's us, isn't it? It's something we've made, and it comes from. It wouldn't be the same if I'd been raised in a with a completely different life ethos. The channel probably wouldn't exist or exist in the same way. Or we'd be charging 40 times more for
maybe
what we do.
Maybe we should do that.
Maybe we should. Tony should charge loads more. But no, we'll see anyway. I said anything. There is no pure socialism anymore.
I hope people aren't thinking we're trying to ram our political views down. People, you know, the topic was politics and footy, and I hope that you guys who are listening or watching do realise that what we've tried to do there really is tell you why we think it goes hand in hand and not ram our political views down your throats.
It's more, yeah, exactly. Look, again, do what you're doing, like what you like. Ultimately, you are your own people.
You still are people.
Exactly.
If you're listening to us.
Exactly, yeah. And in the day, fucking, there's plenty of Tories who are Liverpool fans too, which is a big shame. we move on anyway.
That was good. I enjoyed that.
That was interesting. So we got some questions that you've tweeted in, but Si, have you got the... Did you prepare?
There was two.
Go ahead.
Have you sent it to us? Have we done this thing where you're going to unlock? Chris is gone. For those of you who want to watch the podcast, you can do it on the redmentv.com. Hi, you'll notice that Chris has taken leave.
Have you got the iTunes ones? Or just the comments off the website? Okay, we'll do these first and then I'll ask you to get the iTunes one.
We could have got the fucking website up ourselves. Come on, Simon.
Cheese Sarni, that FIFA second controller thing, is that basically what Ped and Baz were doing for you on PES 2017?
So, yeah, basically, like people listened to it last week. Chris made the well, I don't, for me, it was a shock revelation, but apparently, you think it's a normal thing that Chris would basically turn on the two-player control pad to beat a team on FIFA.
Anything to win, baby.
and of course, we beat Baz and Ped 7-0. On Retro Football TV.
Unfortunately for them, they were playing properly.
Yeah, and they probably would have been better, to be fair.
Red Zed, Radamel Falcao is Monaco's captain. Yeah, that completely goes against what we're saying, but anyway.
Sad. We'll get the iTunes stuff up in a sec. Do you want to hand that back over to
no,
Si?
I can do it.
But I'm going to ask you questions while we're
doing
this.
Ask me questions, that's fine.
Are you sure?
Yeah, well, we'll
see. Okay, so let's start. Ryan Renison. You ready?
Yeah. Ryan Renison.
Would you rather look like Karius but have the football ability of Mignolet, or look like Milner but have the football ability of Coutinho?
Like Milner.
You reckon?
Yeah.
See, as you said, I was going to say, football's fleeting, but then so are looks, aren't they? But then, not like the thing is...
I don't think Milner's that... Milner's not, fast. He's not a bad-looking guy, and ultimately the money will bring the ladies.
Is that because having no money hasn't brought the ladies?
Well, that's not technically true, but yeah.
Ladies plural. You know what? I would love to be able to be as good as footy, as Phil Coutinho. But equally, I don't think Karius and Mignolet are too far apart in terms of ability levels either way. Although Karius is a sensational-looking man. If you haven't actually watched it yet, the video should be out now. I got to play. Me and Karius teamed up against Origi and Gomez at Melwood. 2-on-2 action on Pro Evo. It's an absolute belter of video. Please don't go and watch it on the YouTube. Go and watch it on the YouTube channel. Andy the Red 83. If you'd the choice of Hansen, Souness, Gerrard and Dalglish to bring in for the final two games, who would you choose?
Hansen, Souness, Gerrard and Dalglish. Just one player from those four. Dalglish.
Okay, why?
Because we need goals. And Dalglish will just lay them on a plate for anybody.
I think it's weird, yeah. Because to me, Gerrard's my answer for a similar reason. I think we could do with someone. Again, if we're talking these players in the pomp, it's a toss-up between the two of them. Gerrard, because he's so used to us not being very good and winning games for us.
That's a good point.
But Dalglish, because you just got to go back to 86. You know, guy wins the league at Stamford Bridge, crops up and fucking scores the winning goal. And what Kenny Dalglish has that as well in spades is that experience of when the chips are down, the pressure's on. Yeah. The only thing is, in our formation, where would Kenny Dalglish play?
I don't care. Genuinely, just put him near a forward.
Would you play him central?
I'd play him with Sturridge central, a two up top.
But bear in mind, we're not going to play a two up top.
Well, we are.
Well, we're playing the formation.
Okay, but we're getting Dalglish, but I can't change the formation.
No, that's the point.
No, it's not. The point is, if I get Dalglish,
where would you play Dalglish?
I'd play him off Daniel Sturridge.
You play him in like Lallana's position?
Like a 10, let's say. Why not?
Stop changing the question.
Why?
I'm asking you a question. I'm genuinely asking you a question. Where would you play Kenny Dalglish in our current formation?
In our current formation, I would go. Let's go with the formation that we played against
Southampton in the League Cup away last season.
I felt the Coutinho and Firmino were very central. They went wide. I'd play him in Firmino's position.
Okay.
On that right hand side, but not wide.
Okay, sounds, yeah. I'd have Gerrard alongside. You know what, Gerrard right wing with the absence of Sadio Mane.
Oh, that's a great show. Yeah. I think that wins, actually. Yeah.
Okay, Lachlan HC, who is Huntley Chipper. Do you guys think Champions League football will aid in the development of Ajaria, Ojo, Ward and Gomez?
Yes, indirectly.
Because
they'll get more games in the League Cup and the league, yeah.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I don't think it affects, because in my head anyway, I think we probably keep Karius and Mignolet, so Ward doesn't really, I think Ward probably goes out on loan again next season. Don't be shocked if Huddersfield come up. I'd let him stay at Huddersfield if they want him, which would be a great development for him. I don't know on Ajaria. In fact, there's another player we didn't talk about earlier. He played quite a bit of football for us, relatively speaking. And again, I wonder what we would have seen from him if we would have seen any more, he's been out for a long time, hasn't he? I'm not sure on Ajaria's future. Gomez, 100%, I think he'll play. I think we'll see him play loads more games as a result of that. The question is though, I think it would probably affect. More than those four, I think, or maybe three of those four, I think it affects Trent Alexander-Arnold most, because I think we'll use him in rotation a bit more.
I think we've got to, haven't we? Mm.
Unless we've got to buy another right back. Kalumi Manny Mayhem, is Grujic good enough to start?
It's very difficult to say because look, ultimately we've only really seen him start against, I think it was Leeds in the League Cup. Didn't play particularly well. Other than that, it was pre-season. Judging off that pre-season, he was a monster. He was brilliant. Mm. You know, he knows how to find spacing and around the box and score goals and stuff. And you know, am I right in saying he scored against Barcelona in that 4-0?
He scored a pearl of a header.
Yeah, absolutely. Like so, I think he's got the physical attributes, and I think he's got the technical attributes to start. Whether he's up to speed right now, no, maybe probably not. But ultimately, I think long term he will be a fixture in this team.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I think he's.
It's hard to judge.
Yeah, good as is tough to judge on that. You're right, because I think you go back to him. I think the game that stands out for me, I think it might have been Derby. I think he started that, and I remember thinking he was just bang average in that. But I think Klopp admitted he played him in the wrong position in that match.
He played him in the 10, didn't he? I think me and Tom were there. Like.
And it was one of them where I think I've seen little bits of him. You're watching for the under-23s in the mini derby last night, and he set up Trent Alexander-Arnold, like amazing goal he scored. And that he looks too good for that level. But there is obviously a step up in that. Good enough to start right now in these last two games? No, because if we've got the players that we are likely to be fit, who's he start? Is he going to come in instead of Wijnaldum? Is he going to come instead of Lallana?
You're not
going to
do that,
not really. But it could be one of those random options where if Origi was to get injured and you wanted to have someone to hold the ball up, you could maybe try him as a target man. Who knows? Jack Morg_, best goal you've seen live? I'll start this while you have a little thing. Gerrard versus Manchester United. Did we beat them 3-0 or 3-1? The one where he runs and it's stuck under his feet. Barthez is in goal and he just twats it. And he's got no right to generate that much power, given where the ball is in proximity to his body. And he just smashes it on top of him. Reece has scored an absolute belt in that game as well.
I have no idea. None whatsoever. I guess it would probably be one of Suarez's. My memory is shit.
Yeah. I can add a few. Robbie Fowler, League Cup final 2001 from like 40 yards out on the left-hand side, like half volley over the goalkeeper. Michael Owen winning goal in the cup final. That's a lot of them from around that era, really, before I totally cabbaged my brain with drink. I've kind of still got a lot of those memories intact from 01, 01, 01, 01 and 01, 02. Yeah, so we have seen some battles, even recently, Dejan Lovren winning against Dortmund's got to be up there as well. Let's do one more from here and we'll save the rest for the website. Anthony Evans. Anthony Evans, 97. Do John Flanagan and Lazar Markovic have a future at Liverpool Football Club?
No. Probably not. Like, I mean, I don't think Markovic does. Just straight outright. Flanagan might, but I can't see how he fits into this side, if I'm honest.
It'd be interesting to just know what he's ever going to be physically capable of. Because here's the thing about him. I look at Martin Kelly.
Yeah.
And Martin Kelly, okay, he's only really starting for Palace at centre-half because they've had injuries to Scott Dan and obviously Shaka wasn't able to play and now he's injured. But if he, you know, I look at someone like him and just think, what was the, if he's good enough to play the Premier League level at centre-half, yeah. And I know he's not a scouser, so it's not quite the same, but I do wonder why we wouldn't keep players like this. And I get the impression with Jurgen Klopp as well, is that I think we'll see more turnover in older players than we will in younger players. I think we'll give, whereas Liverpool in the past would go, oh, he's not good enough, bin him off after the year. I think we'll see these guys get another season because I think he believes that you need longer time to develop. So, and I know Flanagan's not young anymore. He's now getting towards his mid-20s.
He's like, maybe.
It wouldn't shock me if we gave him a season because given how little he got at Burnley, I think, as we've always said, I think you get more out of Flanagan at Liverpool than you would at any other
Look, you've got to. I mean, he understands the club, he understands the city, he understands the team as well. You know, he's a guy who, for me, suits a Jurgen Klopp side. You know, a guy who has regularly been better than the sum of his own parts.
Mm.
You know, and that's for Liverpool. I'd love to see him get another chance because I really like having that scouse link into the team as well. I think it's great. I think it's great for the fans. And ultimately, look, he's not a bad player. It's just whether you can fit him in.
If you've got, again, I just don't know what physical state he's in whatsoever. But I wonder whether, again, if he just wants to keep him around, he's not going to be in loads of money. You could do worse than if you had to play Flanagan for 5 games at left back in the season. And then if he gets back to being the Flanagan from two or three years ago, then great. That was a good Flanagan. I'd have that Flanagan Liverpool squad all day long, but ultimately we'll never know. And I'm pleased that Markovic is doing so well at Hull because I just don't think Klopp likes his attitude in a general sense. But I know by all accounts, like, Hull were fucked when he went off at the weekend.
Mm.
It totally fucked how they were playing. But he was getting in the box, he was heading things, he was getting stuck in. And I thought, good on you. I hope he has a good career because he's a nice lad and he's clearly got talent. But I just don't see. He would be, if we've not had him at Liverpool this season, when we've been crying out for another body in the attacking positions. I mean, for fuck's sake, Chris, we can be critical of not buying anyone in January. We could have had Lazar Markovic playing in the fucking Premier League.
He was back. He was back, wasn't he? Essentially, we had the option on him for the rest of the season. Yeah. We didn't take him, which says all you need to know about what Klopp thinks about Lazar Markovic.
Absolutely. Okay, so we are going to quickly go through the iTunes stuff.
Yeah.
As we said at the top of the show, please do leave us a review. We'll read through some of those things. Sai's phone's locked, and he's gesturing because he can't say the number out loud because it's probably his PIN for everything.
Sounds. Are we in? We're in.
We're in. We've hacked the mainframe.
Okay. By, where are you kidding me? Okay, this review was left by J semicolon J L H K U G U K G U K H U K H. Congratulations, that's the hardest thing to ever have to try and read out. Can you please make another transfer committee video with the Anfield rap lads like last year? Yes, I suppose is the answer. We'll try.
Yeah, we'll see if they're up for it, and if they are, we'll definitely do this. So I'm going to take a little picture for it to advertise the podcast.
By Fahim P23, brilliant content. Who's more boss, Stee or Aubrey?
That you've put me in a tough situation there. I've been friends with Aubrey since I was 11. Doesn't sound you know why it's a tough situation?
Oh dear,
because it's Stig. No, they're both boss. Do you think is Aubrey more boss for you?
Aubrey's more boss.
Okay.
Barry LFC, a must for any Liverpool fan. Redman at his best. Keep it up, lads. Great podcasts. FSG in by Matty. You know what? I'm sam with Emery being our only German. By Miles 567.
What?
Algorithm? Whether you're having to listen to the podcast at work while your boss is out the office, definitely not me. Driving or just want to listen to two blokes talk all things Liverpool for an hour to get away from the missus, this podcast is a must.
Listen to it on the bog while having a fake poo.
I like this one by El Stanion. Hands down, the best weekly podcast with Paul Machen and Chris Pajak.
With occasional long ball street, so I'm just going to say they must be more better than that.
By Paulie J 90, always look for a Liverpool podcast. I've only heard 2 episodes of this podcast and think it's great. Keep up the good work, guys. Brilliant. Oh, thank you very much for that.
That's fantastic. So yeah, as ever, leave a 5-star review on iTunes and leave a comment and we'll read it next week. If you want more of the podcast, you can do. We're going to do another 15 minutes or so or more, and the questions we're going to answer are Jake Wright saying top 4 would be a great achievement, but how would you guys feel about Arsenal-esque celebrations from the players if we make it? James Jimbo 11 says, if you could live with one celebrity, who would it be and why? Jordan CB, should we start Origi or Sturridge for our last 2 games? Stephen Borman, if you won the lottery, would you still do Redman TV or retire? Tosin, our lad the Oaken says, good day admin and everyone, why Liverpool can't sign players from top rated clubs but always clubs under them? Kez says, what's your biggest achievement excluding Redmen and your kids? And the Mad King, if you had to reassign the top 6 managers, which clubs would you send them to and why? Stay tuned for all that if you're watching us on the redmentv.com. if you want to hear our answers to those questions, then do that. Go to the redmentv.com, click join, start your free month trial, and it can all be yours. That and hundreds of hours of back catalogue. And I'd just like to point out, Red Men TV Live.
Yeah, baby.
Final day of the season in Liverpool City Centre. After the Middlesbrough game, we're going to be doing a live show with an audience. You can be part of it. If you want a 50% discount off the tickets,
sign up to the website.
Go to the website, and there's a video there that tells you exactly how to do that. Otherwise, go to our shop site, and we'll put the link in the description. Get your tickets and come and see us live and in person. We'll have a chat, we'll have a bevy, and we'll pick the bones of the season.
Yeah, man. Can't wait for it.
Bro. Yeah, man. Right, so anyway, thanks, whoop, podcast whoop. Listeners. Walk on.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.